The book, for just a little background for your listeners, 20 years ago, I started quite by accident what was to become a 20-year practice, formal practice of silence, in that I don't speak on the first and third Mondays of every month. And in 20 years, I've only broken that discipline once when I actually was in a car accident. It started one day, a gorgeous January day on Cape Cod, where I live, when I was taking my daily walk by the beach. And it was a sad day for me because my best friend's mother was dying. So I was in a very reflective and saddened place because I knew I could not prevent her from experiencing the pain to come, and that made me feel both helpless and sad. And I think that there were two things about that day that when I look back, I think were key. And one was that I was alone, and I wasn't listening to music or anything. I was actually walking in a quiet, reflective space. And I was very open because my heart had one of the roles of grief in our life, or sorrow, I think, is to crack our heart open into compassion and openness. So I was in that space, and I was watching two Eider ducks dive, and they stayed underwater for so long. I couldn't hold my breath as long as they were underwater. And watching them in that moment, I just was struck by this, what seemed to me a minor miracle of nature, that these ducks that had lungs perhaps the size of my thumb could stay underwater longer than I could hold my breath. Watching them, I had a moment of gratitude and thought, I'm so lucky to live here, and I'm so lucky to be in this country, this beautiful country of ours, and watching this beautiful event in nature. And as often happens with gratitude, which is one of the reasons I think it's really good to develop a practice of gratitude, is it's like the dominoes. One expression of gratitude often leads to another and then another. So I was thinking how fortunate I was. And I thought, well, I'm really fortunate, too, that I love my husband. And this moment today, I even like him. You know, it's marriage, and this is a good day. And I like my kids and love them and my friends. And I am a novelist. I do what I love for a living. But I started to think, you know, even the losses and grief I've experienced in my life, the disappointments, all of that seemed all part of the tapestry of life. Everything plays a role, the losses we have, the, you know, intense disappointments and setbacks, the difficult times, all of it plays a role, and it's all really remarkable. And I was in this huge moment of gratitude for my life. At the same time that I was experiencing the privilege of being alive, I also, out in nature, as frequently happens, realized the minuscule role I played in the big overall. So I was feeling humbled, I was feeling privileged, and I said, I am so grateful, I don't know what to do. And a man behind me said, sit in silence. And I turned around and there was no one there. Every time I tell this story, I'm struck again with how, you know, frankly, bizarre it was, because it was a male voice on the beach. It wasn't,
oh, really?
In my head.
It's bizarre to hear someone speaking out of nowhere when there's no one there?
Really, yes. One might think a little. So, but no one there, but the phrase just stuck in my head. So I walked along the beach and I kept thinking, sit in silence. What does that mean? Sit in silence. What does that mean? And as this brief interview might show you, I'm really comfortable speaking and talking and have been, as a child, called a little chatterbox. So it was a little alien to me to think of, too. But walking home, I thought, maybe it means just what it sounds like, don't talk. So I told my husband I wasn't going to talk the next day. He was not right on board, you know. He didn't particularly like the idea. He thought it was odd. He thought it would be inconvenient if Margaret needed me, if her mother died, if our children needed me. And I said, you know, I know. I don't know if I'll be able to do it, but I'm going to try. And I did the next day, and it was such a intense day of so many moments in it that were either beautiful or really rich. And then at night, I was so rested and relaxed, and I thought, I want to do it again. And that began it, and so for 20 years. And that just happened to arbitrarily be a Monday. So I decided to do it two Mondays later. Then again, it was just a remarkable, remarkable day. I think we miss a lot when we don't stop to just hear. There's information coming at us all the time, from our bodies, from the planet, from other people, from our families. We're going so fast, and we're living so much either in the future or past in our minds that we miss it. And in silent days, I was tethered to the present in a quite remarkable way. and was very alive to the moment. So that began it, and as I say, it's been 20 years of these Silent Mondays. And a while back, an editor asked me if I would be interested in writing a book about my experience. And out of that came Listening Below the Noise.
So it's been 20 years since you started this. 2009 is when Listening Below the Noise came up.